This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't know how we got here, ladies and gentlemen, but we are here. The final hour of power here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Youngest in charge, Will and L. Willingham, riding with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Before we dish the rock to the JR. Sport brief. Caitlin, I just looked up. I turned the channel here in studio at the beginning, like 2 segments ago, and now I finally looked over. 1 quarter down in the books of the 2023 NBA Finals, and the books right now in Vegas looking like geniuses. Denver entering tonight, 9-point favorites. After 1 quarter, they lead 29-20. So they have a 9-point lead. Like I said, 29-20 going into the second quarter. The high man tonight, leading both teams in scoring, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon, 12 points, 6 of 8 from the field. He shot the most shots out of anybody in the game for Miami or Denver to this point. I did not have that on my bingo card. So I'm stunned to see Aaron Gordon have this type of an impact. And it lends to the conversation we were having earlier on in the 7 o'clock hour. We were playing NBA Fact or Fiction. Which role players, talking about Miami's role players or Denver's role players, which one of those guys do I have more confidence in, to get the job done and play well for 4 straight games? And if you're going to tell me that Aaron Gordon's going to come out and score in double figures every night for the Denver Nuggets, that does not bode well for the Miami Heat. The other thing that I was looking at tonight from a matchup standpoint was how they choose to defend Nikola Jokic. How does the rotation look? Kevin Love is somebody I thought would be getting minutes. He didn't play in that first quarter. Cody Zeller, though, did get 2 minutes. And I expect that to be the rotation that Coach Eric Spoelstra uses. Cody Zeller playing at the 5 sometimes. Bam Adebayo playing at the 4. We were talking to Chase Hughes about an hour ago. He talked about, and he had the great point and reminded me, Bam is undersized. He's not your traditional center. He's athletic. He's quick. He's got speed. But from a size standpoint, Nikola Jokic, fully capable of backing Bam Adebayo down and putting him in a compromising position. But luckily for Miami, and I haven't been able to pay too close attention because we're doing a whole radio show here right now, defensively, I haven't really gotten an inkling as to how they're going to defend Denver, but it looks like based on some of the clips that they're showing here right now and the highlights coming back from break, a lot of man-to-man. And if y'all watched the last series that Miami played in against the Celtics, you know man-to-man defense is not what got them here, right? Playing that matchup zone, mucking things up, making things sloppy and nasty, so to speak, in the middle is how they were able to get Boston to shoot terribly from the field and score their season low in points in the biggest game of the year, Game 7. We'll see, though, how they end up defending Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray tonight. I told you Aaron Gordon led all scorers with 12 points. Jamal Murray doing what Jamal Murray does, man. That Canadian gets buckets. 8 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. He's 4 of 5 from the field. Nikola Jokic, and this I laugh because it's like, Linnell, how many times can you keep seeing the same thing happen over and over again before you buy into it, right? Y'all know it. It's not that I'm hating on Nikola Jokic. Something about him, I just don't understand it. I feel like we're gassing him up a little bit too much. But when you finish the first quarter with 6 assists, how can I say anything negative about you? Nikola Jokic, by all intents and purposes, looking like he's doing what he's done all postseason long, dominating and controlling tempo and time of possession for this group. Denver up 29-20 with 11:40 and counting left to go in the first quarter. Aaron Gordon leads all scorers. He's got 12 points on 6 of 8 shooting. We'll get you a recap and back up to speed on the NBA Finals coming up before we get out of here. Right now, though, want to continue our conversations surrounding the Washington Commanders. We let you hear from Coach Eric Bieniemy a few segments ago. The defensive coordinator of the Commanders, Jack Del Rio, he also spoke today, and it was interesting to hear from Jack because normally when Jack Del Rio does media availabilities, it is very apparent that he don't really got time to be out there talking to us media folks. Not that he's too high and mighty to do such. He's just an old school type of coach, former linebacker, understands that he's a dude's dude. He's all about football. And if it's not about football, Jack Del Rio didn't want to hear about it. Here is Coach Del Rio from earlier today.
And was he kind of your top DB going into the draft?
Really fired up about getting him, adding him to the squad. I think he's a tremendous football player. You know, he's fast. He's got great ball skills. He's very bright, and you know, he played against some of the best competition that you can, being in the SEC. And held up week in, week out. Was a playmaker, very productive. So happy to get him.
And I know these workouts are voluntary. I know Chase and Montez have experience with you in the system. Would you have one of them here? Does it matter to you that they're not here for this part of the off season?
It's a voluntary time of year. I'm grateful for the guys that are here. I think we're getting a lot of good work in. Really establishing our culture and putting in a lot of good work, you know, and I'm just appreciative of the guys that are here.
Have you talked to Chase at all, and what can he do when he's not at the facility to help, you know, speed up that process when he does report?
What can he do what now?
What can he do to maybe speed up the process or help him ease back in when he gets here?
Just be here, you know, When he gets here, get to work.
How can Montez get better at finishing?
That'll be the challenge. I think that was, you know, really the message for Daron Payne going into last year. He was very disruptive the year before, and left a lot on the plate. You know, I think Montez is in a similar situation. I think he's been very close, very disruptive. Done a lot of really good things. I mean, he's a good football player, and when he starts finishing at a higher rate, you know, his numbers are going to explode. And so, I anticipate him having that kind of a year for us. You know, he needs to have that for himself, and we'd like to see it, you know, for our team.
Is there anything specific that goes into that, or is it just him finishing when he gets?
Just understanding, you know, the difference, really. Where you have these opportunities and to close the deal. And, you know, you work so hard as a pass rusher to get in position. Coverage has to help you there, you know, be enough coverage to give you time to get there. And then when you're there, close the deal. And it'll add zeros to your check.
Third down defense is a stat that can fluctuate from year to year. I mean, you guys were 31st 2 years ago and then first in that last year. What about that area do you think makes it something that can really bounce back and forth, or maybe be something that's hard to carry over from year to year?
I don't know. I'm focused on going forward, being as good as we can be, helping our football team win. You know, so third down comes, that's the money down. We've got to be able to get the ball back for our offense, and we did it at an excellent rate last year. And, you know, looking forward to getting after it and finding a way to do that well again this year.
What were maybe the main reasons why you think you were so successful on third down last year, things that you can replicate this season as you look forward?
I mean, it's all competition. I mean, you try and dial into things you guys can do well, and, you know, it's always a combination of rushing coverage and working together hand in hand and understanding how people are trying to attack you and utilizing the people you have to get them stopped. And I feel like we've found a good rhythm with that last year and did a solid job in that area, and, you know, we'll look to do the same this year.
I feel like one of the themes we've heard from the guys is talking about creating more turnovers.
Yep.
And it's something that you can talk about, but obviously something different to implement. How do you balance kind of creating more turnovers while keeping guys, you know, disciplined in their drops?
Well, it's not a matter of being undisciplined to create turnovers. It's we're working on the fundamentals of executing, whether it be forcing fumbles or getting interceptions, and some of the fundamentals that you can work on this time of year to emphasize that. The fact that we're going to work it even more so than we have, it's an emphasis point. So, you know, two things really for me starting this year is starting fast and create more turnovers. Those are two areas for us that I feel defensively for us to contribute to this football team, give this team a chance to win a bunch of games. We've got to be stronger in those two areas and still be good in the other areas. I mean, we did some good things, but those are two areas we've got to do better.
What are some of your first impressions working opposite Eric Bieniemy, and not only in terms of going up against his offense, but also working with him in terms of planning installs and just the day-to-day of the team?
Yep. It's been good. I wish he'd express himself a little bit, come out of his shell. He's great. He's got a lot of energy. He's bringing accountability to the unit. And we're going to get some good competitive work against them. And so there'll be some good back and forth, and that's, I think, healthy for our football team.
Coach, how do you feel Quan Martin has come on, especially after missing rookie minicamp?
Yeah, great. He's a bright young man. He's gifted. He's learning a lot of positions right now and doing a real good job for us.
What do you like out of Benjamin St. Juice or Emmanuel Forbes in the slot? Just Ron said you wanted to take a look at them there.
Yeah, we're looking at a lot of different combinations right now. It's that time of year. Build depth, build understanding. And Benjamin's been excellent. So inside, outside, he's having a great offseason, and I think getting ready to have a real good year for us.
This may be stupid, but with Emmanuel Forbes, is when a guy plays primarily outside in college or all outside, and he does really well at forcing turnovers, can he carry that over to a new position? Like if he's learning inside the slot, can he still be as instinctual in terms of when to go for an interception and that sort of thing?
He's pretty natural at picking his spots, going for interceptions. So, yeah, where we end up displaying or deploying our guys at the end of the day, we'll see. But we're building flexibility right now. Guys are learning different positions. We're trying to make guys uncomfortable right now, get familiar, learn more than one role. And, where we have some versatility, some flexibility, will be to our advantage as we go forward.
Ron's talked about his desire to be more of a supervisor kind of role, letting you guys run your units, all that. What have you seen from him and his comfort level in kind of blazing that trail into that role?
Ron's been great 4 years with me. It hasn't changed a great deal. We share whenever he's available and wants to dig into it, we'll share. But basically, he lets us do our thing. And so we've got a good staff. I'm really pleased with the way we hired from within when we lost Chris Harris and elevated Christian Garcia and elevated Brett Wieselmeyer. And I really like the way that staff is working, or the defensive backfield is working. I think they're doing a great job. They're doing a lot of teaching and I think doing a great job with it. So I'm excited about the way that's coming together.
Is that kind of unique or special, that level of autonomy that you get here to run the unit?
No, not really. No, I mean, it's pretty, I mean, I've done this a while, so I think, I think maybe there's a little trust there, knowing that, very, very transparent. We're going to, clearly show Coach what we're wanting to do and there's ever any question or ever anything he wants explained or ever anything he wants to understand better, we knock it out. But he really has been very trustworthy, allowing us to do our thing. And And I'm the same way with the guys, the staff, the defensive side. I mean, I believe in the power of the staff. I believe in us all contributing. And whether it be Reggie Howard, our brand-new quality control guy, or whether it be Brent Wiesemeyer, the head of our defensive backfield, I'm counting on those guys all contributing.
Jack, now that you're playing the zone match for the second year, I guess, to build, how can you build on that? And do you see a difference even in the spring about where they're at in terms of their understanding and how where it can go from there?
Yeah, I mean, we mix our coverages. I mean, that's, you know, we do a little bit of everything. Yeah, I like the way it's worked. I think the guys are more comfortable in what we're asking them to do. And the new guys are showing the ability to learn and kind of catch up quickly. So, yeah, it's been good.
Then I know he's on the other side of the ball, but you've been able to watch Sam Howell on the other side. And just I'm curious what you've seen in terms of progression from him over the course of the last year.
Yeah, I like Sam. I like the work that I see them putting in. You know, obviously, it's a new system, so there's going to be a little bit of growth. I think he's got a chance to be a good player for us, and that's that'll be very important. You know, if he plays well, gives us a chance to do real well as a team. So obviously, I'm pulling for him.
Two more.
With regards to Jamin Davis, obviously he's not able to do everything right now. When you look back at what he did, I know you want to look forward, but when you look back, what was the things that he did that stood out to you most for his progression? And then therefore, what's the thing for him this year that you're looking forward to seeing him take that next step?
Yeah, that's it. Take the next step. You know, I thought we had more splash plays and less, you know, what the heck are you doing plays. And we need that trend to continue. It was year three now. We should expect him to be at his best, and he's going to be challenged. I'll be honest with you, you know, because our guys are attacking it. I mean, they're doing a great job. Cody Barton's come in, and he's shown that he's going to be a valuable piece for us. And guys like Khalik Hudson have been playing outstanding. You know, from I think he gained a little bit of confidence from that last outing against Dallas. You know, he went out there and played really well. So he's coming to this offseason full of energy and getting a lot of reps because Jamin's not going. So when Jamin gets back, the key for him is going to be eliminate some of the what the heck is this plays from his game and have some more of those splash plays where he does bring the ability to have some of those splash plays.
Last one.
And for Cody Barton, obviously Cole Holcomb out, he comes in.
Right.
What's the difference? What is Cody going to bring you? Maybe not so much that Cole didn't, but what can he do for this defense? What stood out to you when you guys were deciding to bring him?
Cody's a bigger man, so I mean he's going to bring a little more thump in the middle of our defense. He runs well. You know, Cole ran well. One thing about Cole was he was always in the building studying, you know, just a student of the game, and Cody's really attacking it the same way. I mean, he's just first minute he can be in here, he's in here and just devouring tape and really applying himself, and so it's we're happy we're able to get a guy like Cody and bring him in and add him to our room.
Thanks.
It's Commanders defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio giving us the latest on the Burgundy and Gold as they wrap up week number two of voluntary OTAs. Next week, though, all hands expected to be on deck. Chase Young expected to be in attendance. Montez Sweat expected to be in attendance. Next week out at mandatory minicamp, we get our first look at the full version of the 2023 Washington Commanders. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, one of our staples here on Overtime, it's hot news, or not news, that's next here on Overtime. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Youngest in charge, Movement Linnell Willingham, riding with you for about another half hour before we dish the rock to the JR Sport Brief. Want to get you up to speed on game one of the NBA Finals because I love you. I told you I'd keep you up to speed all night long, man. I'm upset I don't get to pay attention and watch. And based off the score, it doesn't look like I'm missing too much. Denver with a 52-40 lead with 2:14 left to go in the first half. I told you in the first quarter it was Aaron Gordon who was on one for the Denver Nuggets. He's got 14 and still leads all scores. With Bam Adebayo from Miami, he's getting in his bag offensively. He's got 14 as well on 7 of 11 shooting. And We'll look at some numbers here in this first half between Miami and Denver, and this has really been the story. Miami shot the ball so well during these playoffs, and really it was an outlier because for 82 games during the regular season, they were one of the worst offensive teams in basketball. But in the postseason, they've been pretty much top five in every offensive metric. Right now, though, tonight, game one of the NBA Finals, Miami shooting just 17 of 45 from the field. It's only 37%. They're 4 of 15 beyond the arc, which is 26%. And the big outlying number right now, points in the paint. Denver, 30 paint points. Miami, just 16. So we'll keep you up to speed on the finals as the second half gets ready to start here in about 5 or 10 minutes or so. Right now, though, I want to keep things on the gridiron. One of the staples that we do here on Overtime, it's NFL hot news or not news. Let's do it.
The spiciest news in the DMV. Linnell's hot news or not news, starting off first with DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins was released by the Cardinals last week, and since then, several teams have courted him. But earlier today, sources confirmed Hopkins recently visited his former team, the Houston Texans. Hot news or not news?
We love to keep it spicy here on Hot News or Not News, and that is as spicy as it gets. Think about the teams that we heard rumored for DeAndre Hopkins. They all had one thing in common. Win now teams, contenders. We heard the Ravens. We heard the Chiefs. We heard the Bills. But for the Houston Texans to be potentially courting DeAndre Hopkins, that makes a whole lot of sense. The Texans drafted their signal caller of the future in April's draft, C.J. Stroud, the junior quarterback out of Ohio State, and I think it was a slam dunk draft pick. If you look and read some of the articles from Texans beat writers, he has gotten off to a phenomenal start during OTAs and their minicamp. I'm going to say it's hot news that DeAndre Hopkins' name is being thrown around in the Texans mix, because guess what? We all assumed it was either Kansas City or Buffalo. This is the first time a non-contender has shown interest, so that's hot news for me.
Going over to Tennessee, the Titans shocked some folks by trading up in the second round to draft Kentucky quarterback Will Levis. However, there were reports today that Levis had a really tough day of practice.
Yeah.
Hot news or not news?
I hate Will Levis because of the weird stuff he does with his food. It's the quarterback, Caitlin, that eats the bananas with the peels on and it puts the mayonnaise in the coffee. He's absolutely disgusting. And he's more of a bodybuilder than an actual quarterback. But I say all that to say this. I'm going to say it's not news, and here's why. What are we in? First day of June? If Will Levis is having bad practices in August, then I'll sound the alarm. When they drafted this young man in the second round out of Kentucky, I don't think there were huge expectations for him. The quarterback situation in Tennessee right now is a mess anyway. They drafted Malik Willis last year in the third round, and they still got Ryan Tannehill under contract for one more season. If I was a Titans fan, God bless you. This is a difficult, difficult time right now because you can't explain to me why your team drafted a quarterback. I'm going to say it's not news.
Let's head over to Wisconsin, where Packers veteran offensive tackle Dave Bakhtiari says it's disrespectful. Woo! To good say the Packers, Caitlin, aren't rebuilding after trading away Rodgers. Hot news or not news?
You get an A-plus for that. You nailed it, Dave Bakhtiari. It's a tough name to pronounce, folks. Super producer Caitlin on the job. I'm going to say it's hot news, and here's why. What the hell is Dave Bakhtiari talking about? How are you wanting to be in a rebuild? I've never heard any veteran player in the National Football League be upset because they're not rebuilding. Doesn't make sense. And when you're Dave Bakhtiari and you haven't played a lot of games here in the past couple of years, you don't really get to give your 2 cents on how you're feeling. So Dave Bakhtiari, put a sock in it. I'm going to say it's not news because who cares about the Packers now that Rodgers is gone, right?
Shaking my head, Bakhtiari. 49ers general manager John Lynch says he's super encouraged after Brock Purdy's first throwing session. Hot news or not news?
I'm going to say it's not news. I've kept the same stance on this when it comes to the quarterback position with the San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy last year was a great story, right? Provided them perfect insurance once Jimmy Garoppolo went down in that Miami game. We saw him get injured in the NFC Championship game, though, against the Philadelphia Eagles. He had his first throwing session later or earlier last week, and the fact that this is the first time that he's throwing the ball and we're now in the month of June, all signs point to him not being ready for training camp, and that means Trey Area, it's your show, buddy. I think Trey Lance, the former number three overall pick for the San Francisco 49ers, they owe him every opportunity to be this team's next franchise quarterback, and I think Brock Purdy being on the shelf does nothing but open up the door for Trey Lance. I want to say it's hot news because the fact that John Lynch is even monitoring his throwing sessions lets me know maybe there is going to be an open quarterback competition. Who knows?
We've reached the home stretch, and for the home stretch, let's head back home to D.C., where Commanders head coach, Ron Rivera says we won't find out who the starting quarterback is until the joint practices with the Ravens. Hot news or not news?
Gosh, I'm torn on this one. The one thing I will say, Washington, great offseason, by the way. I love them bringing in Eric Bieniemy. It finally seemed like you got the quarterback position figured out. A lot of question marks, though. The one way, though, to get a true gauge on how good you are going into the regular season is to get to go against somebody else. After being in training camp for 2 and 3 weeks at a time, you're itching to hit another color jersey. This football team going out and practicing with the Ravens, I think it's going to be the best thing for this organization, man. They'll finally get a real gauge as to how good they are going into the season. And I think it makes a whole lot of sense for him to wait till the joint practices to name a starting QB, because guess what? Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett could light the world on fire against a defense they know. But when you're facing somebody you're not as familiar with, it becomes very, very easy to be exposed. I'm going to say that's not news. It's going to do it, though, for hot news or not news. When we come back, we'll hear from David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. He'll get us up to speed on what he saw from the Commanders at OTAs yesterday. That's next on The Fan. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan, and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Linnell Willingham riding with you for a couple more segments here tonight before we dish the rock for the JR Sport Brief. Real quick, though, while we got a second, I want to get you up to speed. Game one of the 2023 NBA Finals. Denver, the one seed, holding a 59-42 lead at the half. And the big story for both teams in this one, it's what one team is doing and what the other is not. Miami, all postseason long, has, to me, outkicked their coverage in terms of their ability to score the basketball. Tonight, it's caught up with them. Miami, 18-48 from the field. They're shooting 37% from two, and then 4 of 17, good for 24% from beyond the arc. On the flip side, Denver shooting 60% from the floor and 46% from beyond the arc. We'll get you some high scores here in this one. For the Miami Heat, the leading scorer, Bam Adebayo, he's holding his own right now. 8 of 13 from the floor, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Jimmy Butler off to a slow start. He's got just 7 points in the first half on 3 of 8 shooting. Caleb Martin, who was the star during Game 7 for the Boston Celtics, he's scoreless right now, 0 for 5 from the field. And it kind of goes to what we were talking about before the show started, man. Not before the show started, but during the early portion of the show. Which role players, talking about Miami's guys or Denver's guys, is going to give you a better opportunity here tonight? You want to talk about equal opportunity scoring for the Denver Nuggets. 4 out of their 5 starters in double figures. Jamal Murray, shocker, leads the way. He's got 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists on 8 of 12 shooting. Nikola Jokic, just 3 shots on the night. He's taken the least amount of shots on the floor tonight out of any of his Denver Nugget teammates that have played. He's got 10 points and 10 assists at the half. Some slight, just a little double-double at the half for Nikola Jokic. Like I said, Miami trailing by 17. It's a 59-42 Denver Nuggets lead. And look, if you keep the show rolling, or if you keep it on 106.7 The Fan, once the JR Sport Brief show starts, I'm sure he'll be talking his trash, getting you up to speed on the latest between the Nuggets and Heat. Right now, though, I want to get to my conversation with David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan, and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. David Harrison, you make sure you give David a follow on Twitter at dharrison82. He is the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast and one of the prideful members of that Washington Commanders beat. David, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm jealous. Didn't get the opportunity to be out there today. Had some other things to handle, but you were out there, and hopefully you can give us the skinny. What were some of your big takeaways from the second open OTA session of the media?
Really, I mean, I guess the biggest, like the biggest standout to me was just really how intelligent this defense is starting to look. And you know, before we went out to practice, we had the press conference with Ron Rivera. I got to ask him a bunch of questions, and one of the things that he kind of talked about was how they've really been implementing over the last, you know, couple seasons or so that this zone match, you know, this match zone system that they've been running, and kind of how that kind of gives them an advantage in what they're trying to do. And when you go out on the practice field and you get into the 7-on-7, the 11-on-11, you see these guys out here, especially these young guys, Quan Martin and Emmanuel Forbes. And you know, Emmanuel, we got to see him at the rookie camp, and now we get, you know, two OTA practices that we get to see. This is the second time we've seen Quan because he wasn't at the rookie camp. But to a guy, like, you're seeing these guys really play very intelligent football. Like, you know, to a basic sense, zone coverage, we think, okay, you just stand in this kind of general area, and if the ball comes to your area, you make a play. But no, like, these guys are out here. They're not just standing in their zone. They're really absorbing everything that's going on around them, playing with confidence that the people, you know, to the right or left of them or behind them are where they're supposed to be, and handling their responsibilities. And then you see some really intelligent plays, and they're leading to passes broken up that would otherwise be completed, or deflections. Like today, Quan Martin was on kind of an outside, more of a shallow end zone. And then, you know, when we watch him, his head was on the swivel, watching the quarterback, watching the play unfold in front of him, and he sees that there's a guy coming from his right side inside of his own coverage assignment. He sees the quarterback snap his head that way. He breaks immediately on the read, and he gets his hand into the ball before the receiver ever has a chance to make a play on it. And the result is a deflected pass that ends up being intercepted by new linebacker Cody Barton. And just to see that process,
yeah.
Like, that really stood out. You got a young guy, a new linebacker, a system that Jack Del Rio has now been, you know, implementing for multiple seasons, and you really see it kind of start to take hold. It wasn't a bad throw, not a bad decision. Like, when you see the ball release, you go, okay, that's a good spot to throw the ball. Then, boom, next thing you see is, because of this smart play by the defense, that smart throw is turned into an interception.
David, that's interesting to hear that, man, because when you look at the strengths of this football team from a year ago, the defense is really what carried this group. They were pretty much top 10 in every statistical category. So to hear that type of glowing review definitely is music, right? Speaking on him delegating more than he has in previous years. With Eric Bieniemy coming here with that assistant head coach title, we kind of expected that. But from getting to watch Ron Rivera the last two seasons, what do you see from him, and what does he mean by he's delegating more?
Can I tell you something that's really ironic?
Uh-huh.
He's a commander. Like,
hold on, honestly,
that's
got a bell for you for that one. That's good stuff.
Yeah, but that's literally what he's describing, right? So again, you know this. You know, I have a military background. I spent 20 years in the United States Army. Like, the word commander, why it doesn't strike fear in the hearts of a lot of people? Because commanders are traditionally, and again, not every commander is the same, right? But commanders are traditionally not action takers. They're not boots on ground in the mud,
right,
sweating and bleeding and all that stuff. They're delegators. They're decision makers. They're schemers. They're mission planners. And those, the best ones will give you the objective. They'll give you the vision. Here is the kind of team that we're going to be. But this isn't just a commander telling their leaders, hey, listen, you have this style, you have this style, but you're going to do it my way. No, your best commanders will say, okay, Jack Del Rio, what's your style? What's your style of defense? Okay, Eric Bieniemy, what's your style of offense? How do we marry these two styles to make sure that our organization and our unit, you know, military unit, want to go that way, works together, works cohesively, and that's where in football, you end up with complementary football. How do we personify what we're going to do as a unit, and then you agree or you come to this development of this image, this, you know, whatever we want to call it, and you move forward with your task list. How are we going to get from point A to point B? Eventually that gets us to point Z, which ideally in the NFL is the Super Bowl.
Right.
So how are we going to get there? And then the way we get there, let your leaders run their operation, right? If you have a coordinator out there who's not running his operation, he's running your operation, then you don't have a coordinator. You have a coach. I mean, a coach. And a coach can still teach, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's always a better lesson when you're teaching your knowledge. knowledge. If you're teaching someone else's knowledge, like I could pick up a history book that I didn't write, Linnell, and I could sit here for an hour on 106.7 and read the pages. Right. Nobody's going to learn anything. Right. But if I'm telling you the story of me, which honestly nobody wants to hear anyway, but if I'm telling you the story of me, you're going to get it because I'm going to bring it not just with inside knowledge, but also with passion because it's my story. Let these coaches do what they're going to do. So it's not really a Ron Rivera offense. It's not a Ron Rivera defense. It's a Ron Rivera-led team that has these two identities blending into one that you're going to see be the Washington Commanders. That is what the best commanders in the military do. And right now, from the sounds of it, again, we're still very early in the process, but from right now, it sounds like that's what Ron Rivera is doing.
I hope that's the case, man. And a lot of folks, myself included, I kind of, you know, don't understand it all the way. And hearing you break it down that way definitely makes it more clear for me. But just from a football standpoint, man, I just wonder if he is the guy that's in the middle of these huddles breaking the team down. I do think that this style and this philosophy can work, but it's kind of hard if I'm a player and Ron Rivera is trying to tell me something about X's and O's, but he's not privy to what's actually going on because he's delegating so much. So we'll see how that relationship plays out throughout the duration of the summer. David, I got to ask you about the quarterback position, man. How did the two signal callers look out there today? I'm talking about Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, so starting with Sam Howell, you know, he's a young quarterback, and he did a lot of young quarterback things. And I got to give a shout-out to Mitch Tisler out of NBC Sports Washington because I saw a tweet from him. Yeah, I saw a tweet from him today that really kind of summarized everything. He used a GIF of a roller coaster, right? And he wrote about this three-throw sequence from Sam Howell. And on one throw, he hits the slot receiver with a beautiful pass. I mean, this thing was put in the perfect position because the defensive back was not out of position. Like, the DB is in phase. He's in coverage. The receiver is running his route. And Sam puts that ball where only his receiver can make a play. The DB has no choice but to watch his guy come down with the ball. It was a beautiful throw. Very next throw should have been intercepted. Should have never been thrown. It was a bad decision. And I'm sure that they've watched the film over and over again. You know, EB has talked to him about it. He probably already knew it as soon as he let it go. That was a bad decision. Yeah. Very next throw after that is an absolute dime to tight end. I believe it was Curtis Hodges on that throw. So that's just kind of what you're getting right now from a young quarterback. But that's also what you should kind of expect from a young quarterback. And the big thing to remember at this stage, and I got to give a shout-out to Evan Klotsky of WTSP 10 Tampa Bay. And, yes, he covers the Buccaneers. But he made an analogy that getting mad at a quarterback in May is like getting mad at a pitcher because he gave up a home run in spring training. It doesn't make any sense. But what you want to look at is the positives. Where are the positives? And the great thing about Sam Howell that we're seeing so far that we didn't see previously is the bounce back. Is when there is a bad decision, usually there's a good decision that follows it. It's not another bad decision trying to make up for the previous bad decision. And that's not something that we've seen a lot of here recently. So that's incredibly impressive. And then Jacoby Brissett, the thing that's really impressed me about Jacoby that I did not expect and I didn't know we were going to see is that arm. That arm is intense. It's probably the best way I can put it. When he throws a football, they were in red zone today, and he threw a ball. And because of the way he threw it, and everybody who watches football will understand this analogy, the way he threw it, I looked at the back of the end zone. So it's like when the camera pans, and then boom, he's got to quickly readjust and come back. Because the ball actually got caught at like the 5-yard line by a tight end. But the way he threw that thing, I just immediately said, oh, that's got to be going to the back of the end zone because that's a lot of zip. Instead, poor Cole Turner's hands. I'm like, dude, like, do you need to see a trainer after catching that ball? Because that thing got on him. But what you see is some of these throws that are made that might be a little bit risky, you know, at times, they're getting to guys, you know, immediately. And there's really no time, even if there's defenders in the area, there's really no time for those defenders to make a reaction. Now, the key is for the receivers to be able to anticipate it and catch it, right? So right now, they're communicating, they're connecting. And it's to the point, and again, very early in this process, right? But if this is what we're seeing in late August, and you were to tell me that, hey, for whatever reason, Jacoby's got to lead a game or take some snaps or run a couple series or whatever here or there, I'm comfortable with him. I'm not going to sit here and say he can run this team to the Super Bowl by himself, but with a defensive-minded team, would I have confidence that Jacoby Brissett cannot lose games to the Washington Commanders? Absolutely.
All right, David, that's going to do it, man. I appreciate you giving us some time, and hopefully, man, when the pads come on in August, we get a better understanding as to, you know, who's going to eventually be the QB1. If you can, real quick, before we let you go, do you think one of these guys have a leg up right now?
Yeah, I think it's Sam Howell. I think it's Sam Howell's job to lose, and he's going to have to do some really bad things to lose. I don't anticipate that happening, right, to be quite honest with you. So outside of injury, which knock on wood, that's not the case. Right. I think it's Sam Howell. Real quick, when pads come on, mm-hmm, Chris Rodriguez Jr., sixth round pick out of Kentucky, watch out for
is
him.
Is that your guy? Are you drawing your line in the sand for Chris Rodriguez?
I don't know if I'm drawing a line yet, but okay, I'll tell you right now, I've been watching him from rookie camp. His feet are getting lighter. His steps are getting faster. I got to watch how he runs behind his pads. He ran a little bit high at Kentucky sometimes. I want to see more about how he's running, getting behind his pads next week at the mandatory minicamp. But I'm telling you right now, that guy's physicality, and I think his speed is a little underrated. I'm not saying he's a burner, but I think his speed is a little underrated, and he's a better receiver potentially than what Kentucky showcased. I think this is a guy that once the pads come on and he gets to hit somebody, I think he's a guy that could very quickly earn a little cult following from fans.
All right, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. David Harrison, leader of the Chris Rodriguez fan club. Appreciate you giving me some time, David.
All right, bro. Appreciate you.
That is David Harrison, ladies and gentlemen. He is the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at dharrison82 and follow the Locked On Commanders Twitter page at LOCommanders on Twitter. That's going to do it, though, here for this Thursday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going on Twitter, it's at @NELL_BTP. The second half of the finals just tipped off. It's Denver with a 14-point lead with 7:45 left to go in the third quarter. The JR Sport Brief Show is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.